Can y'all hear me now? All right. Well, it's good to be here with y'all. I appreciate the opportunity. Mark came and preached for us at the associational meeting last month, and shortly afterwards he emailed me and asked me to come and preach to y'all because he was going to be out this month, and I was thankful for the invite. It's been quite a while since I've been in front of the congregation here at Smoke Rise, and I was thankful for that. I appreciate you. I appreciate this church. It's part of the North Jefferson Association. Got a couple of your ladies that help us with our caring center, our food bank and clothes closet that we work, and Barbara back there and Carolyn over here. They both work in that, and if some of the rest of y'all would like to, just talk to them. They can put you in touch with Cindy, our director of the community ministries of the association, and she can plug you in. I am really thankful to be here today, and that's really what we're going to be talking about here today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 17, and as you turn there, I want to tell you a little story of something that happened to me many years ago. As I served as the pastor of Friendship Baptist Church near Odenville, I had been there quite a while. I was bivocation. I worked at the custodian of a much larger church 10 miles down Highway 411 in Moody, Bethel Baptist Church. So I was, I called myself the minister of the facilities there, you know. I was a pastor in one church and I was a custodian of another. One Sunday, as I was doing my regular duties, because I'd shake hands at the door at Friendship, and then I would jump in my truck, and I'd drive the 10 miles down, and then I would lock the doors, and I would usually go through the pews and pick up the bulletins and the trash, bubblegum wrappers, fingernail clippings, you know, stuff that people do in church with, you know, and I would clean up and straighten up the hymn books. Well, in those days, this has been 40 years ago, in those days, Bethel Baptist Church was using the 1956 Baptist hymnal. That's one I was raised with, the old blue one. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that? Well, one of the pews, about four from the front on this side, had a hymn book laying in it, and it had a piece of paper sticking out. Well, I picked it up, and I read on that paper, it said, number 318 is missing from this book. And I said, So I guess somebody ripped the page out, or somehow it came unbound, and it was gone. And so I just shoved it under my arm, went and finished my business. And as I was working my way, I was going to put it in the church office. And as I was working my way back to the office, all of a sudden it occurred to me that number 318 in the old 1956 Baptist hymnal is the song, Count Your Blessings. And right then, God kind of spoke to me in my spirit, and he said, you know, there are a lot of Christians just like this book. Count Your Blessings is missing from their book. And, of course, I felt convicted. And I sat down there on about the second row, and I started counting my blessings, the things that God had done for me as a young minister. He brought me and my wife through a very difficult time with our daughter, who was born with health problems that kept us from going to the mission field as we had planned. But he had healed her. He had worked through that, the doctors and children's hospital. She was fine. We'd had a second child, and she was fine. And I was serving the Lord, and I had a nice job, and I had a beautiful wife, and God had given me a calling to be his servant. And I just started one by one counting my blessings and thanking God for what he had done for me. And as it is happening right now, because I'm one of these crying preachers, tears ran down my face as I sat there. But you know, I'm not unusual in the fact that sometimes I forget to count my blessings. I think we're all kind of like that. And today I want us to look at a story from God's Word that talks about forgetting to thank God and have an attitude of gratitude. If you have your Word open now, or if you look at it on the screen, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, New King James Version is what I'm reading from. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray together for just a moment. Father, I pray that today, that as we look at this story, this event, this encounter in the life of Jesus, that we might also consider ourselves and our own encounter with Jesus and our own life. May we consider ourselves today and look at this story and apply it to our own situation and our own heart and our own life. Father, may we, especially this time of year where we have a particular day that's been set aside to give you glory and to give you thanks for all the blessings that come our way, Lord, may we indeed have an attitude of gratefulness, of thanksgiving, of giving you glory and honor for what you've done. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at 3 things quickly here in this passage of Scripture. I will not belabor the points. I'm not going to say them 4 times. I'm just going to tell you, just quite simply and honestly, what the Lord has spoken to me through this passage. First of all, I want us to look at the ones being cleansed, and I want us to look at their need. It's the need of everyone. It's the need of every man, of every woman, of every child. It is your need. It is my need. They represent, these 10 that are infected with this dread disease called leprosy, in a sense represent all of us. Because, you know, let's set the scene here first of all. You know, Jesus is traveling from Capernaum down to Jerusalem. He's traveling from the north down to the south, from Galilee to Judea. And as he goes, he's instructing his disciples on the way and the ways of God. He's been giving them lessons. And then all of a sudden here in the midst of this time, as they pass the outskirts of a small town, we're not told the name of the town in the Scriptures, a band of lepers spy them, and they know who Jesus is. They recognize him. His reputation had preceded him and had gone before him, and they knew that Jesus, as he was prone to do, he didn't do the regular route of going and crossing, to the other side of the Jordan River and going down through that way to avoid Samaria. He went through Samaria, and they knew this. And so as they saw him, they recognized him, and they called out on him as one man, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Now, this depicts your need, and it depicts my need. All of us stand here in need of the mercy of God. None of us can hope to attain heaven without His mercy. For all of us, you and me, we are all infected with a dread disease known as sin. The leprosy, in a sense, represents your sinfulness and my sinfulness. It was a disease that we cannot remove on our own. We cannot go to a physician and be healed of it except the great physician who is Jesus Christ. You and I stand before God unable to pay for our sins or to do anything to save ourselves. It is all upon the mercy of God. So this story depicts the need of every man. You and I are, in a sense, spiritual lepers. We're incapable of healing ourselves. Perhaps you're here today and you're still in the clutches of sin. You've never turned to Christ and said, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner." He will. That's all you have to do, is to call upon the name of the Lord, according to Romans 10:13. All you have to do is call upon Him. Notice something unusual in this band of lepers. John Barclay, well-noted expert on New Testament culture, makes this observation of this very unusual thing. He says, this band of lepers was a mixed multitude. There were Jews and Samaritans who came together. And here is a quote from his book. "A common misfortune had broken down the barriers, religious, political, social, and racial boundaries. They were all blurred in the common tragedy of their leprosy, and they remembered not that they were Jews and Samaritans, only that they were men in need." They cried out with one voice. They were unified in their calling upon Jesus. "Have mercy on me." You see, it doesn't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter the color of your skin or how much money you have in your checking account. It doesn't matter about any of these factors. All that matters is your need. And your need and my need and everyone's need in the entire world is to say, "Jesus, have mercy on me." A second thing, though, that I see in this passage of Scripture, this story that I think is important for us to recognize, is to understand the supply of His grace. Understand in verses 13 and 14, what does it say there? It says that they lifted up their voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." And so when He saw them, He said to them, simply, "Go show yourself to the priest. Just go do what it says over there in the Old Testament and the laws of Leviticus 13. In essence, what He's saying is, act in faith already as if you've been cleansed. Now, cleansed, I like that word. It's a really good word. It describes what Jesus did for you and me on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood that we might be cleansed. It's a beautiful word. Did they heal themselves? No, they didn't heal themselves. God did the miraculous healing. It was a miraculous divine intervention into the laws of nature, into the laws of sin and death. Jesus set them free from their leprosy, just as He will set us free from the disease of sin. But they had a responsibility to act in faith upon the Word of God. Now, what if they had said, I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. I'm not going to embarrass my family and bring heartache upon them and acting like I'm already healed. Well, if they had not obeyed Jesus' Word, I don't believe they would have been healed. Because it says, because as they went, they were cleansed. It came to pass that as they acted in faith upon the Word in which God had given unto them, they were cleansed. Now, if I placed $1 million in your account and gave you a checkbook and told you to spend it however you needed, yet you did not cash a single check, and you died of starvation because you had no food, whose fault would it be? It would not be my fault, because I laid the supply at your disposal. I gave you what you needed. Yours would be the fault. Yet there are people who want to blame God because of their unwillingness to take hold of the salvation that God sends and that He gives so freely. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet there are people who will blame God and say God sends people to hell. He does not. His supply of grace is unending. It's abundant, and it's enough for every sin, save the sin of neglecting so great a salvation. We don't appropriate that which He has offered unto us. If we do not come unto Him and take of what He freely gives, then we pay the price for that. But His supply, the supply of His grace, is everlasting and unending. Third and finally in this little story, I want to mention the gratitude of one. It says to us in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorify God. We can easily substitute the word thank there. 1 out of 10, 10% of those healed. And he was one of those despised foreign half-breed Jews, a Samaritan. My daddy was a truck driver. He was not a learned man, but he had learned a few lines from Shakespeare growing up, you know, as he went to elementary school and high school. And one of his favorite lines he used to quote to me and my brother and my sister, his children, and he would say this line from the Shakespearean play of King Lear: how sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child. You ever heard that line? I heard a lot growing up. How sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child. You and I must admit that most of the time we go about our business without thinking about all the blessings that God has given to us. I know I'm guilty. We do not live lives of thankfulness to God like we should. Hymn number 317 seems to be missing from our book a lot of the time. Look what Jesus did for that man that day and for all of them. He restored his health, first of all, but he also gave him back his family, his livelihood, his dignity. He saved him from a miserable existence of begging for crumbs, of seeing people fleeing from him in horror and despair because of his leprosy. Look what Jesus did for that man. And think about what Jesus has done for you. Think about what he has done for us all. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He saved us from a life of godless iniquity, from eternal condemnation, from separation from Him. He's empowered His Spirit. He's empowered His children with His Spirit, with the Spirit of God inside them, that He gives us to all who will receive it. He has taken from us the foul stench of hell and given unto us the kingdom of God. Should we not be grateful? Each and every day, should we not be thankful? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? What a haunting question for you and me. this Thanksgiving. I want you to not think about football, not think about the Iron Bowl, not think about, you know, the national championship race or any of those sort of things. Don't think about food and family as much as you think about what God has done for you. And give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him thanks. Return unto Him the praise He so richly deserves, because what He has done for you and how He has given you the blessings of life. I don't know if you remember the words, but the words of "Count Your Blessings" will haunt me. The chorus goes like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings missing from your book. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, which calls us out of darkness into light, that tells us the way in which we can be redeemed and taken from a destiny that is so bleak and puts us on a road to life and liberty and happiness. And Lord, we know this life that we live, even as believers, is still fraught with peril. We know that the rain falls on the just and the just unjust alike, that the storms come our way just as truly as they do to those who perish. But Lord, we thank you for the firm foundation of Jesus Christ that enables us to stand in the evil day. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace. And we thank you, Lord, most of all, for your Son, Jesus, who died that we might live. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
And today, to conclude the service, we'll be singing out the hymns once again. They're located at the ends of each rows. We'll be on hymn number 644, Count Your Blessings.
Upon life's pillows.